And Father, as we come before your presence this afternoon, we know that we come before the great and mighty God, and also a new Father who loves us deeply. And we know that you express the depth of your love towards us supremely, the sending of your only begotten Son into this world to suffer, to die at the cross of Calvary, to bear the pain, the punishment that was due to us because of our sins. Father, we thank you for the deep sense of assurance that together with him whom you deliver up for us, you will not withhold any good thing for us from us, but will freely give us all good things. We thank you that over the years you have watched over our lives, you have kept us. We thank you for the things that you have taught us, and we thank you that through many situations of life you have sought to teach us, to mold us, to transform us, that more and more we may be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that there's much that we can learn, because we know that in the sovereignty and according to your perfect wisdom, you have so ordered our lives and the things, events and situations that we go through, that what we go through will not just be occurrences that just happen to take place, that our suffering, pains and trials that we go through will not be in vain if our hearts are right with you, if indeed we are walking with you. And so we ask that you will help us, that we may learn to trust you, to learn to live with a deep sense of consciousness, your presence, to learn to depend on you, and to seek to learn well what you desire of us. Help us that even as we profess to love you and affirm our desire to be true disciples of the Lord, that we may follow the example of the Lord Jesus, to learn to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and daily follow him. Help us in the midst of difficulties, trials, that we will not shrink back, for we know that if we do so, you will have no pleasure in us. Help us that more and more we may also have a clearer understanding of our true state, the quality of our faith, and to know what steps we need to take, that indeed our lives may make good progress, that our lives may be truly pleasing in your sight. And so, Father, as we continue to ponder over the subject of difficult situations, that you will help us to be able to grasp the issues more clearly, in particular, that we may grow in understanding of how to respond well to you, and also how to perceive reality and not just be taken up or overwhelmed by the external appearance of things. Help us to be able to perceive things accurately and also from the true perspective. And so, Father, we look to you for our time together, that you will be pleased to be in our midst and to speak to us, that you protect us and keep us from the evil one, that you do not allow the powers of darkness in any way to hinder us, to distract us, to harass us, in any way to oppress us. Help us, Father, that during this time we may be able to concentrate, to be able to understand, and most of all to be able to absorb, to appropriate the truths into our lives and know how to apply them in the relevant context. we look to you. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of appearance and reality, the 51st message. We are on the second major category of situations, the 27th message. And we are now considering the subject of difficult situations which appear likely to continue indefinitely or degenerating towards increasing darkness and helplessness or developing intensity towards a crisis or seriously damaging consequences. And this is the second message on this subject. In the previous message, I mentioned three kinds of situations. They are rather similar, but some little difference, little variation in it for us to ponder about. The first situation is a difficult situation or trial that has gone on for some time and appear likely to continue that way indefinitely with no way of solution in sight, and we feel unable to endure. In reality, relief may be about to take place, though there are no obvious outward indications in that direction. So it's a situation where we feel very difficult, though it appears to likely to continue in that way indefinitely. Let us remember that although outwardly it may appear that way, in reality, relief may be about to take place. Though it doesn't mean that you will always be that way, but it can happen. And the Lord willing, we'll later also try to understand why this is so. Then the second situation, or second category of situations, a situation that seems to be degenerating towards increasing darkness and hopelessness. In other words, just carrying on indefinitely, a difficult situation, but actually becoming worse and worse, more and more difficult, and a sense of darkness and hopelessness that may tend to generate a sense of helplessness and despair. But in reality, dawn may be about to break. And the third category of situation is a situation which appears to be developing in intensity, not just becoming worse and worse, degenerating, but developing intensity towards a crisis and seriously damaging consequences. As far as you can see, it's moving in that kind of direction. So it's a very intensely difficult situation, moving towards a crisis. But in reality, there may be significant and sometimes dramatic positive development soon. Something significantly positive may actually be about to take place, although as we go through it, well, it is developing in intensity towards a crisis. And this can be so even though it doesn't appear likely and there are no obvious outward indications. And then we look at three biblical illustrations, which I'll just mention. And in today's message, we will also be referring to these illustrations to try to understand some of the truths involved. The first illustration we looked at was what Joseph went through, how he was sold by his brothers and became a slave in Egypt, and how after that he was in prison because of false accusation by his master's wife. And after that, he was forgotten by the chief cupbearer to Pharaoh, whose dream he had interpreted. And he was a forgotten man for 2 years before he was finally brought before Pharaoh and exalted, and became the exalted ruler over Egypt. The second illustration, we look at Paul and Silas, how he was seized, dragged, and unjustly beaten and imprisoned, with their feet in the stocks, but how suddenly there was a dramatic deliverance through a great earthquake and the chains were unfastened, and this took place while they were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And how it led to the conversion of the jailer and his household, and the next day he was released in dignity. The third illustration we looked at was what Moses and the Israelites went through from the time Moses went to Pharaoh until the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. And we saw how they went through many rounds of confrontation with Pharaoh, together with various manifestations of the power of God and many plagues on the Egyptians and on their possessions, and how there were many seemingly endless rounds of trials which seemed to be getting nowhere, and finally culminating in Pharaoh's death threat on Moses, which was shortly followed by the last plague of death on all the firstborn of Egypt. And as a result, Pharaoh let the Israelites go. This led to the exodus of the Israelites. That was where we stopped at during the last message. And as we read the story of what Moses and the Israelites go through, when we come to this part of the story, we may feel a sense of relief for the Israelites that they are finally delivered from bondage to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians. Especially if we read, trying to identify with what they are going through. And this sense of relief would be even stronger if we personally are going through a context like that, a period of intense struggles and difficulties, and then we come to this point, parallel to what the Israelites went through when they were allowed to go out of the land of Egypt, the Exodus of the Israelites. But we see that this was not the end of the story. As we look at the scriptural records, we find that another crisis soon materialized, which may seem to be even more desperate than all their previous experiences during the confrontation between Moses and Pharaoh, because Pharaoh hadn't given up. And we see how the Israelites were actually chased by Pharaoh and his army with all their horses and chariots, and finally the Israelites were caught between the pursuing Egyptian army and the sea. You can see this in Exodus chapter 14 verses 5 to 9. I won't read the whole thing to you. We should be familiar with the story, how Pharaoh was not happy that the Israelites were escaping, and he decided to give chase. But the point I see is helpful for us to take note of as we ponder over this record of what happened. It's a point that is helpful for us to learn from and to remember for our lives. And that is, immediately after a crisis or a significant event, in this instance, the Israelites were allowed to go out of the land of Egypt, the Exodus, immediately after such a significant event, we must be careful that we do not lose our vigilance or become careless. And there's a tendency to do so. After a long period of struggle, after an intense crisis, and then there's relief or significant positive development that has taken place, and generally the situation appears resolved already, we may then lose our vigilance. We can become careless. But we must take note that we must not allow ourselves to become in that kind of state, to lose our vigilance or to become careless, although there's a tendency to do so. We must remain prayerful and vigilant. Otherwise, we may be taken by surprise. We may falter, we may be overcome by the enemy, we may actually suffer a serious defeat by him, because the enemy hadn't given up. What has happened to Moses and the Israelites? What took place, the whole episode? We can see and look at it as a pictorial presentation to us about life situations and also the spiritual struggles and the works of the powers of darkness and the evil one. And it's not only just a pictorial presentation, but we know, as I mentioned earlier, that there was a very significant event in the working of God's purposes. So we can say, without too much hesitation, that in all likelihood, the evil one was very active, actively at work in the situation. And Pharaoh's actions, in all likelihood, will not be just on his own, although he is also responsible, his actions and ways, but the evil one very much at work through the life of Pharaoh. So we look at Pharaoh not giving, having given up and giving chase. We can see behind his actions also the powers of darkness at work. And we can learn from this also in our own lives. The enemy hasn't given up. In some of this context, something significant may suddenly take place again, and we have to continue to be vigilant. And to continue with the story of Moses and the Israelites, as Pharaoh and his army drew near, we find that this situation, this time, it seemed as if there really is no way out. There seemed really no way out for the Israelites, and we find that they became very frightened, and also they began to complain bitterly. Verse 10 of Exodus chapter 14. And as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. Verse 9 mentions how the Egyptians chased after them with their horses and chariots. Pharaoh, his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea. So they were caught between the pursuing army of the Egyptians and the sea. And as the Egyptian army came nearer, the Israelites became very frightened, and they complained bitterly. Verse 11, we see, they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." As we read, ponder about these words, you may feel aroused and perhaps be angry with the Israelites. How can they respond in this way? How can they complain against Moses in this kind of way? Especially in the light of what they have just gone through. In spite of all the previous manifestations of God's power and undertaking on the earlier occasions, so many occasions the Lord had manifested His power, undertaken for them, and enable them to come out of the land of Egypt, and yet they were complaining in this kind of way. It is quite a terrible thing for them to conduct themselves in this manner. But are we actually like that in principle? Do we not also behave in this way, respond in this kind of way? Are there parallel kinds of reactions in our lives along these lines? When we look at the Israelites, it's easier for us to see very clearly that this very improper conduct is very terrible to behave in this way. But have we actually behaved in this way and yet not taken note of the fact that it's indeed very bad kind of reaction on our part? Very seriously wrong to respond in this kind of manner. Are we able to recognize the seriousness of our own wrongdoings and wrong reactions? Because if we ponder about it, have we ourselves also not experienced in our own personal lives, not just hearing about the lives of others, but even in our own lives, have we not also experienced on many occasions God's grace and God's sovereign undertaking, and even testify of it? Many occasions we've recognized the hand of the Lord, His grace, His goodness, His undertaking, and also in various ways, in difficult situations, how in times past He has manifested His goodness towards us, and how He has seen us through, and how He has delivered us. Manifestations of God's power and God's deliverance in our lives. And yet, having experienced many of these expressions of God's sovereign undertaking, yet, do we still feel discouraged or even entertain wrong attitudes, leading to a wrong spirit within us when we are faced with very difficult situations again? Do we harbor negative feelings, attitudes, wrong spirit, murmur, grumble, sense of bitterness within, unhealthy questions, not just trying to understand what we are going through, but when you say, why is it I have to go through all this again, in a rather negative kind of spirit, instead of exercising faith in God as we should, failing to exercise unwavering, healthy faith as we ought. And when we react in that kind of way, respond in that kind of way, is there not a parallel in that kind of reaction in relation to what, how the Israelites responded in this context? So you see, this was another climax. We saw earlier on, there was one climax when Pharaoh threatened Moses with death, and how the Lord delivered them in a very definite way. The last plague, the death of the firstborn in Egypt. But here was another climax, and it's indeed a rather desperate kind of situation. And we can also describe this situation as one which is moving towards a crisis. It's indeed a crisis. And as the Egyptian army came nearer and nearer, verse 10 describes it as Pharaoh drew near. It was moving towards a crisis, and also moving towards seriously damaging consequences. Seriously damaging consequences were staring them in the face. That was the kind of context they were in. But a great deliverance was about to take place, which was to resolve the whole Egyptian bondage problem in a decisive manner. In this instance, it took place in a rather dramatic way. It doesn't always have to take place in a dramatic way, but in this particular instance, it was rather dramatic, and very clearly a definite intervention by the Lord, causing the waters of the sea to be divided and turning the sea into dry land, and enabling the Israelites to go through safely. Verses 21 and 22 of Exodus chapter 14. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night, and turned the sea into dry land, so the waters were divided. Notice it in verse 31, the Lord swept the sea back. It didn't just happen. It was God's intervention. The Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night, and turned the sea into dry land, so that the waters were divided. And you see how dramatic it is. Verse 22, and the sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right and on their left. Water was on their right and their left, but there was the passageway for them to go through on dry land. We know of no other such occurrence ever having taken place except on this occasion. It's indeed a very unusual occurrence. The Lord's definite intervention. But verse 31 also indicates Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. Here it's quite clear a response, a conduct on the part of Moses, an expression of faith in cooperation. God stretched out his hand over the sea and the Lord swept the sea back. We find that the Egyptians, seeing the Israelites going through on dry land, they thought that they could also do likewise. And so the Egyptians pursued, but the waters returned and the Egyptians were all drowned. Now when we hear, read of these things, it sounds like a very interesting story, but let us ponder over it that this is not just stories that sometimes adults tell children, but this actually happened in this manner. A very dramatic incident, and also very helpful for us to ponder over and to recognize what the Lord can do when He sees it a suitable occasion for Him to express His sovereign power in this way. Verse 23, we see the Egyptians. And then the Egyptians took up the pursuit, and all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen went in after them into the midst of the sea. But his flights went through on the dry land, and the Egyptians, they pursued. They thought they could do likewise. And the verses that follow tells us what happened and how they finally drowned. We'll just look at verses 26 to 28. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over the chariots and the horsemen. Now God could have done all this on his own, but he spoke to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians. Of course, Moses himself, by just stretching out his hand, could never have accomplished this. God could also have just done it on his own, but it's helpful for us as we look at how it happened, that the Lord said to Moses, stretch out his hand, that Moses could cooperate with God. And in many contexts of life, we find that this is so. The Lord desires us to conduct ourselves, expressions of faith. But there are many things that is impossible for us to do, but God will do it. But on our part, we are not to sit back in a passive way. There are various aspects that God would want us to do on our part, which we can, in obedience to Him, as expressions of our faith in God. Although, from a human point of view, it may seem a futile thing. But whatever God desires of us, as we faithfully obey Him, as Moses stretched out his hand, see God working in a situation. Verse 27. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak, while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. Then the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the water, and the waters returned and covered the chariots of the horsemen, even Pharaoh's entire army that had gone into the sea after them. Not even one of them remained. And so the whole issue of bondage to the Egyptians was decisively resolved. And this took place immediately after, just after context of a very grave crisis, when it appeared as if very seriously damaging consequences were going to take place. Suddenly there was this great deliverance, a very positive development that took place that actually decisively resolved this big problem of the Israelites, of bondage to the Egyptians. And now I want to go on to consider another aspect, and that is the issues we've been considering. It's also helpful for us to take note that what you've been considering can also take place in a person's life, which significantly affects the situation we are in. What you're considering can also take place in a person's life, which significantly affects the situation we are in. I'll explain what I mean. For example, if we consider what happened to Paul, or at that time known as Saul, before his conversion. Just before his conversion, while he was at the height of his fervor, his antagonism, his fierce antagonism against the church and against the believers, while he was vigorously persecuting the believers and seeking to destroy them, and while he was in the midst of it, on the road to Damascus, suddenly he was converted. It was dramatic, it was unexpected, and apparently there are no obvious outward indications in that direction that he was about to be converted. In fact, all the indications appear to the contrary. He was at the height of antagonism against the believers and persecuting them vigorously, and then suddenly he was converted. Converted from a fierce, formidable enemy of the church and of believers, he became suddenly a committed, effective worker of God's kingdom. Now, this kind of unexpected or sudden or sometimes dramatic changes in the life or conduct or behavior of people, which significantly affect the situation we are in, it can take place in the lives of non-believers, it can also take place in the life of believers. We ponder about what happened to Paul or Saul, as he was known at that time. We know that the way he was conducting himself, he affected the lives of the believers very significantly. Difficult time for them. But suddenly, because of this event that occurred, the change that took place in Paul, the situation for the believers, at least those who are suffering persecution from him, changed. So this kind of unexpected change in the life or the conduct and behavior of people can significantly affect the situation we are in. Sometimes we are in a certain situation, and the main difficulty in that situation, and it can be a very trying situation, can primarily be from people or from a particular individual. And that can be the main reason for all three kinds of situations that we were talking about earlier on. A situation that can be very difficult and gone on for quite some time and appear likely to continue that way indefinitely with no solution in sight. The main problem can be the difficulty, the context that comes from people or a particular individual, or can also be second kind of situation where it appears to be degenerating, becoming more and more difficult. And sometimes it can actually be moving a direction of intensity, developing towards a crisis, and what appears to be seriously damaging consequences about to take place. And suddenly, a very positive development will take place, although there are no outward indications in that direction. Now, as I mentioned just now, this can happen, it can take place. This kind of change, unexpected sudden change in life or conduct, can take place in the lives of non-believers, and it may or may not involve conversion. Like the Apostle Paul, he was converted, but it may not amount to conversion, but still there can be a very definite change in the person, and the person's conduct towards us, or towards the person who is undergoing the difficult situation and trial. This can also have the variation in the sense of relief from time to time, which I mentioned earlier on in the previous message, that it can be a difficulty of a long period of time, and we may find it very difficult, and suddenly there can be relief along the way, relief from time to time, even though as we are going through, there are no indications that those moments of relief or periods of relief are about to take place. So it may or may not involve conversion, and also it can take place in the lives of believers. the difficulties that we go through, trials that we go through, pains and so on, that involves people, relationship with people, may not be just the difficulties that we go through with non-believers. It can also take place in the context of believers. Now here in this context, of course, we have to be very careful when we discuss, consider this issue and the way we perceive the realities of what we are going through. Here I'm talking about context of situations where it actually happens this way, which I'm going to describe. But in the context in which we are in, we must be careful not to too quickly conclude that we are at the receiving end in this form, and that the bad conduct and so on primarily lies with others. But I'm talking about that this kind of situations can take place, and these are the kind of contexts in which we can go through. But be careful that our perception is accurate. When I say how it can take place in the lives of believers, what I mean is, at times, believers also can manifest negative traits, bad behavior or conduct which is not proper and can create a lot of problems and difficulties. And there can be conduct or behavior that appears to be degenerating, seems to be getting worse and worse, or the whole way of things that are moving in this area of relationship and or how the person conducts himself can be such as to make things more and more difficult for us. And the situation may seem to be getting unbearable. It can appear to be getting unbearable for a few reasons. Perhaps because it seems to us as if it's going on indefinitely with no solution in sight. So after having gone through a long time in that kind of context, you may feel as if it's rather unbearable, or it may actually appear to be getting worse and worse and degenerating, more and more difficult, and we find it rather unbearable, or actually moving towards a crisis. Very difficult and moving towards a crisis and seriously damaging consequences, and we just feel that we cannot take it anymore. And during such context, it is possible, it can happen, suddenly there may be a significant change for the better. Though there are no obvious outward indications that this is about to take place. Now this doesn't mean that it will always happen this way. As it moves towards a crisis and seriously damaging consequences, sometimes rather unpleasant things can take place. But at times, suddenly there may be a significant change for the better, though there are no obvious outward indications that this is about to take place. And the significant change for the better primarily has to do with the conduct, attitudes of the person from whom the difficulties are coming from. Now one question that may come to our minds, very pertinent question, is this. We've been considering how things can change in rather unexpected ways. Relief, how relief may come, dawn may break, a significant positive development may take place, although it doesn't appear that way and the pointers are in the opposite direction. Though thankful for such reliefs that come about and the positive developments that do take place, we may still properly ask the question, why do these things take place? Why is it like that? Why is it sometimes relief just suddenly comes about? Suddenly the dawn breaks. Suddenly there's a positive development that takes place. Or the situation turns for the better. Though there are no outward indications in that direction. Why is it it takes place? And in fact, sometimes the situation appears to be getting worse. Suddenly there are these positive developments. You may just go through them and be thankful that they take place, but it's also helpful to ponder about why they take place, and it is actually possible to have some understanding as to why these things do take place. And understanding them can be rather helpful for us in increasing in our ability to perceive things accurately and also how to respond. So it's helpful for us to bear in mind some factors which may be in operation in such contexts, which may not be obvious if we are only looking at the outward appearance of things. And that is why it's helpful to ponder about these things so that we will not just live lives on the basis of outward appearance of things. Because if we do so, we will miss many things. The more important issues of life are not always very obvious, nor can they be recognized by just looking at outward appearance of things. One significant aspect to bear in mind is, first one, what is going on in the spiritual realm? What is going on in the spiritual realm? This is an important aspect that helps to account for various things that happen, which otherwise we may not be able to understand if we just look at outward appearance of things. What is going on in the spiritual realm, including the spiritual battle which may be taking place, and the stage of the spiritual battle? What is going on in the spiritual realm, including the spiritual battle which may be taking place, and the stage of the spiritual battle? A difficult situation or context that may have gone on for a long time and may not seem to be getting anywhere or any solution in sight, that is according to outward appearance of things. In reality, in the spiritual realm, there may be definite progress taking place. The situation is difficult, it has gone on for some time, sometimes even a long period of time, and doesn't seem to be getting anywhere, not making any progress, no solution in sight, looking rather hopeless. But actually, in the spiritual realm, there may be definite progress taking place. There's a positive direction. And suddenly, we see the outward manifestations of a sudden change, or of a change for the better. But actually, if we realize, if we could only recognize what is going on in the spiritual realm, we'll realize that actually it's not that sudden. In reality, it's not that no progress is taking place, it's just getting nowhere, and then suddenly we see the change. Actually, there has been progress, but we may not recognize it. Outwardly, it appears that there's no progress, but in the spiritual realm, actually there's progress. This can be happening. I'm not saying that all the time this happens, but this helps to account for some of these situations that we go through. In the spiritual realm, progress may be taking place even though the outward appearance of things, it doesn't seem to be so. There are no indications in that direction, just from the outward observation of what is going on. Now this is illustrated in a pictorial form by what the Israelites under Moses were going through. If we just look at the many rounds of confrontation with Pharaoh, it may appear as if it's just endless. As these slides go through it, if we go through context like this, it may seem to us it's just endless rounds of confrontation. The previous message, you notice, we looked at so many of them, again and again, on and on. It just seem to go on and on, endless. And they seem to be getting nowhere. And not only getting nowhere, later on it actually seems to be getting worse. In fact, right, earlier stages already, the indications are getting worse, more difficult, and then the death threat issued by Pharaoh. So it didn't seem to be making progress, seemed to be endless, seemed to be getting nowhere. But in reality, there was a movement towards a positive conclusion under God's sovereign undertaking. God was sovereign undertaking the whole thing, and He had also, if we read the book of Exodus, He had explained some of these things to Moses, what he intended to do, and the meaning behind it all. But if you just look at the outward appearance of things, you may not understand. And sometimes God may not explain to us the meaning behind those things that are taking place. But He is sovereignly undertaking that through the many plagues, it was moving towards a definite conclusion. It wasn't moving round and round in circles, although it may appear as if it was going round in circles. But it is important that whether we understand or not what is going on, that we persevere and be faithful. Because what God desires to do at times may not take place because we have failed to respond properly. It's important that Moses and the Israelites trust God and be faithful and persevere. And this in these records, in the scriptures, we saw the Israelites were often unfaithful. But we'll be very thankful that there was a Moses in that context who was actively cooperating with God and able to exercise the leadership in that context. So it's important for us to be faithful, to persevere, that the Lord's sovereign undertaking. It is important for us that we learn to trust the Lord and be faithful on our part. So that though outward appearance of things, it may seem as if the difficulties we are going through are not meaningful and seem to be getting us nowhere, if we are faithful, we can trust God that there will be definite positive direction for our lives, and the Lord's sovereign undertaking will bring about a meaningful conclusion. There will be positive results and meaning for our lives. Likewise, we consider what Joseph went through. He was sold as a slave in Egypt, and after that, he was in prison and was forgotten, and 2 years passed by. He also seemed, during all this whole period of time, a long stretch of time, seemed as if the difficulties, the trials he was going through seemed to be getting nowhere. Or for those of us who want to put it in an ironic fashion or even a cynical fashion, you say that he was not just getting nowhere, he was getting into prison. And worse, from a slave, he ended up in prison. But we know that in reality, this was not so. There was actually a movement. What he was going through, there was movement towards a positive goal and the fulfillment of God's purposes for and through his life. God had a purpose for Joseph's life, and he was moving in that direction, and also certain purposes that God wanted to fulfill through Joseph's life. And that we have already considered times past. The famine was about to come, and the relief efforts through Joseph, his exaltation as ruler over the land of Egypt. So it was moving in that direction. It's also helpful for us to recognize that sometimes the evil one, though he realizes that he is losing ground in a particular context, the evil one may be losing ground, and though he realizes that he's losing ground, he may seek to deceive us and to discourage us by manipulating and working the situation to make it appear as if the situation is degenerating towards increasing darkness and hopelessness. So if we are not careful, though actually the evil one is losing ground, but because though he realizes he's losing ground, he may try to deceive us, try to discourage us by manipulating the situation and causing the situation to appear as if it is getting worse, degenerating, there's increasing darkness and hopelessness. And if we are not careful, we are deceived. And we lose heart, when actually there is progress in the context. Now, if you remember, we considered how Moses, when he first spoke to Pharaoh about letting Israelites go, Pharaoh began to oppress the Israelites even more severely. So the situation appears to be getting worse. And the Israelites were actually discouraged and began to complain, as if Moses had done the wrong thing, when actually it was a step in the right direction. When Moses went to confront Pharaoh, it was a step in the right direction, a movement in the right direction, and to lead to the conclusion of the Israelites coming out of bondage. A picture also in the spiritual realm of bondage from the powers of darkness, from the evil one. Now what happened to the Israelites? They say it's a pictorial illustration of this principle. A step in the right direction, but the evil one tried to deceive us, making the situation appear as if it's getting worse, that things are going wrong, as if something wrong has gone on, has taken place. We've done the wrong thing, we shouldn't have done it, and we began to think in that kind of way and become discouraged, when actually it's a step in the right direction. So sometimes situations that appear to be degenerating may not be really degenerating, but appear that way when actually there is progress. Because the powers of darkness, the evil one, manipulates the situation to make it appear that way so that we will be discouraged and be deceived. This is one reason why, in the midst of a situation, a context which appears to be degenerating towards increasing darkness and hopelessness, dawn may be about to break. Though at times there are other reasons to account for such an occurrence, this is one reason why sometimes we are in the midst of a situation that appears to be degenerating, appears to be getting worse and worse. It appears to be getting worse and worse, but actually it's getting better and better. So if we are faithful to God, we continue to be faithful, the situation becomes better and better, and then dawn breaks. Like I said, this kind of context where situation appears to become more and more difficult, or appears to be degenerating, and then relief comes about and dawn breaks, may not just be due to this reason, but this is one reason why something, a situation, may take place in that manner. A bit of variation to this is that at times, at the brink of defeat, just about to be defeated in that context, in a particular context, at the brink of defeat, the evil one may put up a fierce and final struggle. So it's not just merely deception, really it's intense and very and difficult, because the evil one is making it very difficult. It's really difficult, really intensely difficult, because the evil one is putting up a fierce and final struggle, because he's at the brink of defeat. And this is so especially where the issue is significant, and the evil one is making a last effort. He's just about to be defeated, and he's making a very intense effort, a final struggle, to overcome, if he can, to overcome the defeat, to turn it into victory. And so this can result in the situation developing in intensity towards a crisis and seriously damaging consequences. It appears to be moving in that kind of direction, and actually it is intensely difficult. But it is helpful. If this is the situation and you're able to perceive it, it helps. That in reality, the evil one is actually about to be defeated, and a significant and positive development is actually about to take place. It's actually a critical stage in the spiritual battle. And at that point of time, it is very important for us to persevere, to trust the Lord, not just passively go through it, or to be discouraged in any way, or to lose heart, but to persevere. It's crucial to persevere, and victory is just about to take place for us in that context. Now this again is illustrated pictorially in the experience of what Moses and the Israelites went through. For example, just before Pharaoh let them go, the threat of death, there was that significant positive event about to take place in Exodus. But there was this threat of death. Then, even more so, comes through even more strongly what we consider today, the final pursuit of Israelites by Pharaoh and his army. Pharaoh and his army pursuing the evil one, the church, even not having given up, Pharaoh not having given up. The final pursuit of Israelites by Pharaoh and his army, resulting in the Israelites being caught between them and the sea. It's a crisis, an intensely difficult time. But actually, a decisive defeat of Pharaoh and his army was about to take place, and a decisive resolving of the bondage problem. So let us remember that such times can be very trying, taxing, and difficult, but we must persevere with faith. The second point that is helpful for us to bear in mind, to help us to understand why these things can take place in this way, is the issue of what is going on in the hearts and minds of people. What is going on in the hearts and minds of people, which may not be obvious to others. Sometimes you know what is going on in the heart and mind of someone, so it's easy for us, we know what is going on, but sometimes it's not obvious. So in particular, we are talking about various things that may be going on in the hearts and minds of people and may not be obvious to others. And this is an issue that can account for what we are talking about just now, about people and the unexpected kind of change that took place in their lives that significantly affects the situation we are in. What is going on in the hearts and minds of people which can result in unexpected or what appears to be sudden and dramatic changes in their lives, in their conduct, in their behavior, which significantly affect the situation that we are in. And this can take place in the lives of believers or non-believers. So for example, in the case of Paul, at that time known as Saul, the apparently sudden and dramatic conversion and change in his life, from a violent persecutor of the believers out to destroy the church, how he suddenly became one who became a shining example of what a true believer ought to be. Instead of persecuting the believers, became a shining example of a true believer himself, and also of great help to believers. And one who is fully consecrated and commitment to God and the advancement of God's kingdom, when early on he was trying to destroy the church of God. Now this, trying to understand what happened to Saul and the change that took place, was it just sudden? Are there ways to understand, are there aspects that we can understand, indications in the scriptures, pondering over what actually took place? We've considered this in detail in the second message in this series on appearance and reality. So I will not go into this this afternoon because it has been considered in detail there. But outwardly, looking at what happened, looking at the situation, it may appear just sudden and unexpected that Paul suddenly become converted. But in reality, various aspects are likely to have taken place in his heart and mind, God preparing him for the experience in the road to Damascus, meeting the risen Lord, which is of course a very primary aspect that led to the conversion. But the likelihood is that it's not just meeting the risen Lord, but also other aspects that are going on in his heart and mind, which may not be obvious to others. God preparing his heart and mind. Although outwardly, this may not be obvious to others, and his actions continue to be very aggressive. seeking to destroy the believers. But instead of spending time to consider on what happened to Saul on the road to Damascus and his conversion, which he'd already done so, we shall instead just consider also what happened to the prodigal son, as recorded in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. We will not look at the whole passage, but just ponder about it. This is a story that we are all familiar with, the prodigal son, what happened to him. But ponder about it, that those who are looking at the lives and ways of such a person, those who look at the lives and ways of such a person, now here we're talking about in life, when you look at such a person, because the prodigal son is actually a story told by the Lord Jesus. It's not talking about actual person, but it portrays to us what can happen to people. And we look at the lives and ways of people like that, then we may think that such a person is what some people would classify as gone case. It's a gone case. It's a hopeless case. Yeah. Let's look at Luke chapter 15. Let's look at a few verses. Luke chapter 15. In verse 12, we see how he asked his father for his share of the estate. Chapter 15, verse 12. The younger of them, the younger of the two sons of this man, said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." And the father did so. And then he went to a distant country and squandered his estate with loose living. Verse 13. Not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Definitely improper, bad conduct. He went to a distant country and then he squandered his estate and loose living. Not giving away his money for charitable purposes, but squandered it away with loose living. You look at such a person, perhaps in our minds we can think of various ones who come from well-off background, spoiled children, how they waste away their father's wealth. And perhaps you can also think of modern day parallels of many who are termed hippies kind of behavior, and some of them may come from very wealthy background and they go from far away lands from their country of origin and squandered away a lot of money with loose living. But it's not just hippies, but there are many of these kind of people existing in the world, squandering away money with loose living. Improper conduct. But that kind of wrong attitudes and ways of living can also be manifested in many other forms. The lives of people, not necessarily just limited to this kind of form. And then we find he was reduced to looking after swine because he squandered away all his money. Verse 15, he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of the country and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Reduced to looking after swine, and not only that, he was actually eating what the swine ate. Verse 16, he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. He was actually trying to eat what the swine were eating. How low and wretched a state that he was in. As if we come across people like that, what they are going through, we will say, that is a gone case, it's a hopeless case. And then, one day, this man suddenly, unexpectedly appeared before his father. A changed man. Changed for the better, repentant, humble, and a proper sense of unworthiness. Because something had taken place in his heart and mind. He had pondered over his life, come to his senses, realize his sin and wrongdoing and unworthiness. Verse 17 and 18. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.'" These were the things that he pondered over, and he came to this position before he appeared before he went to his father. But these things are taken in his heart and mind. Others may not be aware. We just see the outward appearance of things is just this person who appears to be a gone case. Suddenly, he just appeared before his father, a changed man. And he actually went to his father in that way and told the father how he has sinned, verse 21, how he has sinned against heaven. "I have sinned against heaven. In your sight, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." As far as we can see, his contact is genuine, is sincere. He was a changed man, humble, repentant, a proper sense of unworthiness. Now such a change can take place in the hearts and minds of people. Let us not lose heart when we are in contexts where situations are difficult and it's to do with people. Changes can take place in the hearts and minds of people. Sometimes the process, the thoughts and struggles within may be taking place over a period of time. But outwardly, there are no obvious indications. And suddenly, unexpectedly, we see a definite change for the better. We may not be aware of what is going on in their hearts and minds. Likewise, those who behave unreasonably may also come to their senses one day. But again, as I mentioned just now, we must be very careful on our part. We must make sure that our own conduct is proper and pleasing to the Lord. That is what we must concentrate upon. Make sure on our part our conduct is truly proper and pleasing to the Lord, and give no cause for offense. Let us be careful, not just in such context with, "Oh, this person giving me all the trouble, giving all the problems, the changes that take place in that person's life." But make sure that it is true, that our own conduct is proper, it's pleasing to the Lord, we are not giving offense. And if this is true, the problem comes primarily from others whose lives are difficult or giving us a difficult time because they are conducting, behaving themselves in a reasonable way. If we continue to ensure that our conduct is proper and pleasing to the Lord and we are giving no cause for offense, then at times, this doesn't always happen, but at times, gradually, such people may come to appreciate the lives of those whom they've been treating unreasonably and realize that their own errors and their own wrongdoing, it can happen. At times, they may not express or indicate such thoughts are taking place. At times, it can be gradual. And if believers conduct themselves well, if those who are at the suffering end conduct themselves well, proper in their conduct, continue to show love, consideration, understanding, then various thoughts in that kind of direction of appreciation may slowly be taking place, but it may not be expressed or indicated. But one day, suddenly, we see a very definite and significant change in their attitudes and their ways towards that person. But there may actually be a process that's going on. Sometimes the situation can become very difficult because the powers of darkness are actively at work in the situation. And this is a point that is helpful for us to bear in mind. Not just the person involved, but the powers of darkness at work. And at times, this can account for the reason why the situation becomes very difficult because the powers of darkness are actively at work in the situation, causing misunderstanding, stirring up suspicions and prejudices, and even ill will. But the Lord in His sovereignty and wisdom at times allow these things to take place. The Lord willing, in our message, we will consider some of these aspects as to the Lord's sovereignty in allowing these things to take place. Deep meaning behind all this. But now just concentrate on this aspect that the situation becomes very difficult at times because of the powers of darkness at work to stir up all these things. And it's helpful for us if we are able to perceive and to recognize it, to realize that even in such context, if we maintain proper conduct on our part and also continue to pray over the matter, it's helpful for us to pray over the matter, especially contexts that are very difficult and significant, not just a minor issue. Then we must continue to persevere to pray over the matter. This can be linked to the first point talking about of the movement developments in the spiritual realm. Regardless of how our appearance of things may be, we maintain our proper conduct, persevere in prayer, then these dark clouds may clear off and the relationship can improve significantly. It can happen. Sometimes gradually, sometimes dramatic, significant change suddenly takes place. It can happen in different ways. Sudden in its outward manifestations, suddenly we see a very dramatic change. Suddenly the prejudices, the suspicions, the ill will just seems to disappear. And the relationship takes a turn for the better. It can happen in a very significant manner. And this sudden change, significant change, it may be because of a significant spiritual breakthrough. It can be due to that. And there can also be a sudden spiritual breakthrough. Because there's actually at that point of time when the significant change takes place, is also linked to the spiritual breakthrough at that point of time. It can be due to that. But the spiritual breakthrough often also has a linkage to the process in the spiritual battle that has been taking place and our prayer. So it's important for us to recognize and to pray and not to lose heart. And the sudden change that takes place may coincide with the spiritual breakthrough of a significant nature that has taken place. It can happen. Not just can happen, it need not be a rare occurrence if we learn how to walk with the Lord and to grow strong in Him. Or there may actually be gradual improvement in the spiritual realm and actually what's going on within the heart of the persons involved, but the outward manifestations may not be obvious, but one day a sudden definite change that we observe at the outward level, but inwardly actually various of this sense of suspicions, prejudices, ill will, misunderstanding, gradually the dark clouds have already been moving away gradually. But outwardly you look at the conduct, it seems the same. But actually it's moving. But one day we see a definite change as a result of the gradual changes that have been taking place. I think we shall pause here, stop here for today. The Lord willing, the next message we will carry on to consider other aspects to help us to understand why these things take place, and also a very important aspect to concentrate upon the meaning of these things taking place and the proper response, how we ought to respond in such context. But let us briefly consider what we've covered today. Today we considered how, though on the last occasion we saw the Lord's definite intervention, and how Moses and the Israelites were able to come out of Egypt, and it seemed as if their problem was resolved. They were free. Pharaoh had agreed and actually let them go, and actually came out of the land of Egypt. But as we continue on with the story, we find that in reality another crisis soon materialized, which can appear even more desperate than their previous experiences, because they were now caught between Pharaoh and his army pursuing them, coming closer and closer, and in front of them was the sea. And our recognition, the need to continue to be vigilant, prayerful, and not be careless when a significantly positive event may have taken place in our lives, or after a crisis that we've gone through, we cannot assume that another crisis may not come about again, or even if it's not another crisis, we realize the powers of darkness are still active and looking for opportunities to take advantage of our lives. And if we have gone through something significant, we are not careful, we lose our vigilance, we may then falter, and sometimes even falter in a significant manner, and even one inflicting significant injury upon us. You see how the Israelites, even though they've experienced so many aspects of God's deliverance and goodness and manifestations of God's power, when they were again faced with this new crisis, they became very frightened. There wasn't a faith in God, and also how they complained bitterly against Moses. That was a very bad kind of response to the situation. But we see how we need to learn from this, that we do not respond in like manner. Even as you can see so clearly, that it's improper on the part of Israelites to behave in that way, let us also be more alert in our own lives, how we respond to context, in context like that. And then we went on to consider how the issues we've been considering can also take place in the life of a person, whether Christian or non-Christian, and how their conduct, their attitudes and ways, and even their lives can suddenly change for the better, which significantly affects the situation we are in. Sometimes we are in situations that we find very difficult, which can carry on for a long period of time because primarily of relationship difficulties, or the difficulties that come from people, from a person, and how changes in the life and conduct of a person can result in a significant change for the better in the situation that we are in. We've also sought to understand why these things take place. Why is it no outwardly? There are no indications in that direction. Relief can suddenly just come about. Dawn may suddenly break, or a positive development take place, although there are no indications in that direction. In fact, the situation appears to be degenerating, things appear to be getting worse and worse. And there are various aspects that are helpful for us to bear in mind, also learn to understand, so that we'll be able to perceive situations more accurately, and also how to respond well in that situation and context. So one aspect will help us to understand why these things take place is to be able to understand what is going on in the spiritual realm, and to realize that these things taking place in the spiritual realm may not be immediately reflected in the realm of the visible, the outward appearance of things. So the outward appearance of things, the situation may not appear to be making progress. Things may be, the trials that we go through, many trials, and it appears to be getting nowhere. But in the spiritual realm, it may not be that way. There may be definite progress. There can be a movement in a definite positive direction. especially in the context of those who love the Lord, who walk with God, we can have the assurance of God's sovereign undertaking, that our lives will not just be moving around in circles with no direction and nothing positive coming out of it. Suffering in vain will not be the experience of those who are faithful to the Lord. We can be assured of that. And we see how this was thoroughly illustrated in the experience of Moses and the Israelites. The confrontations may appear to be going around in circles, but actually it's moving in a positive direction towards a positive goal. And likewise, the experience of Joseph. We see how various other aspects that happen, the powers of darkness trying to deceive us, discourage us, although they are losing ground, or the evil one putting up a final fierce struggle. So the situation appears to be very, very intensely difficult, and in fact at times it's really intensely difficult, but it's not getting worse in the sense that we are losing ground, or the evil one may be putting up a final struggle, and it's important to persevere well. But if you're not careful, things will not turn out well. We can actually succumb to the situation. And the significant positive development that is about to take place may not materialize. So it's important for us to persevere. We see this illustrated also in the experience of the Israelites under Moses. Especially when Pharaoh and his army was closing in on them, and in front was the sea. And the second aspect that helps us to understand why these things take place is to understand what is going on in the hearts and minds of people. Sometimes not obvious to us. And our appearance of things may seem as if there are no indications in a positive direction, but something positive may be taking place in the hearts and minds of people, or the Lord preparing their hearts and minds. And then one day, outwardly, we see significant changes taking place. Or the conduct attitude towards us can change significantly. We look at what happened to the prodigal son and how he appeared before his father, a changed man, even though people may look at him and think that he's very well be a hopeless case and look that way, but that was because of the change that came over him as he pondered over what has been happening, a change that took place in his heart and mind. But this change in hearts and minds of people can be a process. There can be various struggles within taking place, but not immediately obvious or not obvious outwardly. And so suddenly we see changes taking place which we may wonder how come it is this way. But actually, something is happening in the spirit, in their hearts and minds. And so in situations that are difficult, that involves the lives of others, it's important for us to make sure on our part, we conduct ourselves properly, we are understanding, loving, considerate. At the same time, especially in contexts that are rather difficult, we must persevere in prayer over the matter. And dark clouds of suspicions, ill will, prejudices, misunderstandings can be cleared away. Often the powers of darkness trying to make things difficult by sowing all these negative things. Let us now prepare ourselves to partake in the Lord's Supper. Let's ponder over our lives, the meaning of our love and commitment to God, and the meaning of trusting Him and walking by faith and not by sight. Just ponder over our lives. Are we easily negatively affected by difficulties, trials, our appearance of things? Do we easily shrink back, become discouraged, or even murmur, complain? Or are we trusting God, persevering, recognizing that He loves us, and that those who trust Him and walk with Him, there will be a definite direction for their lives, and even difficulties and sufferings within God's sovereign undertaking and will not be gone through in vain. For those who respond well, if our attitudes have not been proper, let us confess to the Lord, ask Him to correct our posture, our attitudes, our perspective, our ways, ask Him to strengthen us, that we may be able to walk as we should. Our Father, Lord, we are deeply thankful for your grace and goodness towards us. We thank you for the assurance that we can always trust you, because you are a faithful God and you are on the throne. You are the sovereign one, and there is nothing that can happen without your permission. And you order all things according to your perfect wisdom, your grace, and your love. We ask that you help us. They may live with this deep sense of consciousness of who you are, and how to live a life that is truly pleasing in your sight. Teach us what it means to live, to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us in the midst of difficulties and trials. Learn to be able to look at things with the right perspective, to perceive things accurately, and not just live according to the outward appearance of things, not to be easily discouraged, disheartened. To learn to resist and to reject what the powers of darkness are seeking to do, to hinder us, to discourage us. Help us faithfully to seek to do our part according to your grace, and having done all, to stand firm, to trust you, to persevere. Father, we ask that you will continue to search our hearts. Show us aspects in our lives that are pleasing before you, that we may be able to respond to you, that they may be properly dealt with, so that you will be able to live the clear conscience before you, so the powers of darkness will not be able to freely work in our lives, that we may give no place, no ground for the evil one to operate in our lives. We thank you for the bread, for the wine. We thank you for the Last Supper that Lord Jesus instituted for us. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that you will help us to partake in faith, that we be strengthened by the life of God. Thank you again for all that you've done for us and provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you prepare our hearts and minds and spirit as we partake, so that we may not partake in an unworthy manner. All this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we take the burn, let us ponder the life of the Lord Jesus as our perfect example, his perseverance, his faithfulness, the will of the Father, in spite of various difficulties, intense pain, suffering, not for his own sinfulness, but on our behalf. Let us express our gratitude to him, that because of his perseverance and endurance, we are able now to forgive us our sins and to receive life from God. But as we express our gratitude to him, also express our love for him, our willingness, our desire to be true disciples, to walk in his steps, to follow his example. Let us partake with thanksgiving in our hearts. As we drink the cup, let us ponder over the fact that though there is much pain the Lord Jesus went through was not in vain. And likewise also, in our lives, we are true and faithful unto the Lord. But then as our soul wander over the night, when the blood also speaks of life and power, of power over the enemy, that we can live a life that overcomes. And then as we keep proclaiming the Lord's death till He comes, we're looking forward to the coming day of the Lord Jesus.